Well, hello, friends, foes, enemies, and LBGTs eating BLTs. You're not watching the Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Ellen, or Jimmy Oprah show. Oh, no. You're watching The Right Show. Today, we discuss Governor Hobbs stepping down in Arizona, BLM criminals stepping all over iPhones. We have Colin Kaepernick saying he's ready to step up and join the NFL once again, and Jackson State makes a huge misstep. We're going to try to put all that together, make you laugh. This is the news for people who hate watching the news. You're not watching The Tonight Show. This is Valuetainment Presents The Right Show. Let's go! All right, breaking news. Senator Feinstein has passed away, and right away, Governor Gavin Newsom jumps into the woke fray and says, I'm going to put a black woman in her place. Not the best woman, not the most qualified person, not look at all the candidates and see who we should have. Here is the short list. Take a look on the screen. You're not going to believe this. When I first saw this photo, I said, oh my goodness, is Eddie Murphy doing a brand new film? Those look like all the characters. So tell me, camera two, do you think it's okay to say I'm going to put a black woman in office, or is it best to say I'm going to do a good job and put the right person in office? Put in the comments. I'm trying to figure out which is more racist and which is less. All right. Next up, time for a little bit of a roll call. But first, let's start off with a laugh. Many of you may or may not know I am half Persian. And people give me a hard time for not knowing a lot about my culture. Not fair. Here's a little interaction that kind of happens quite often.
I don't see why you Persians take it so personally. I never learned about the culture. It's not my fault. Never been there.
How is this possible?
Because my dad's from there, but I'm not. Who cares? It's just something to know, but it's not mandatory.
Okay, please tell me you know Lubia Polo.
I know Marco Polo. Oh my That's God. What they taught in school.
No. Okay, Zeresh Polo?
I know Ralph Lauren Polo.
Oh my God.
That's a polo.
This guy knows nothing. Okay, you have to know this. Rumi.
I know Rumi.
Yeah.
In my apartment. I have 4 roomies.
No.
Yes.
No.
I want one.
I don't
want
to hear about
Maybe
your roomie.
3 roomies. No. 4 is a lot.
I don't want to hear about your roomie.
Fine.
Okay, you have to know this. Hafez.
Hafez. Yes. Yeah. I know Hafez.
Yeah.
You taught me Hafez.
I did.
Code Hafez.
What the hell is code Hafez?
When you go to leave, code Hafez.
No, that's not right. No, you are not leaving, I'm leaving.
I already left.
I'm going this way, actually.
I don't like this.
Fun. So these are the kind of sketches we're doing here at Valuetainment. Be sure to like and subscribe so you can see everything we're doing. We're here to make you laugh and have a good time. With that said, I just got back from Washington, D.C. We had a great time. Got some of the crew to film Kayvon the Street. Those segments will be coming soon. You're going to love it. But if you want to see a live comedy tour, here's some of the dates on the screen. Edmonton, Canada. That's right. We are international. Hobart, Indiana. Fort Wayne, Indiana. Joliet, Illinois. Chattanooga. And Huntington Beach. All that and more is on KayvonComedy.com. All right, my question of the day is, what is your favorite Apple product and where are you from? I love the iPhone. It's taken 50 devices out of my house and in my pocket and put them all into one. But we're going to talk about Apple later, so put that in the comments as well. Bill Clinton decided to go out in the streets, kind of mingle with the people. The problem is nobody really cared. Now, Bill Clinton was once the most famous man on earth, arguably, and now he's more like a diversion, like a traffic cone. Take a look.
How you doing, sir? Good to see you.
They're like, excuse me, sir. They don't know that's Willie Clinton with his pink shoes. And that guy doesn't care. And another guy doesn't care. He was shocked. I was shocked. So I have a question. What would you do if you saw Bill Clinton standing in the middle of the sidewalk? And what would you do if you saw Hillary Clinton? Those two answers might be different. Next up, Governor Hobbs. We talked about this in the intro. Has stepped down as governor in Arizona, but only for one day. That was kind of confusing. We had this listed right here by the Arizona Treasurer. I have been notified that I will be serving as acting governor beginning later this evening until mid-morning tomorrow. Read my full statement below. So I had this huge question. what could be going on with the governor that she's not going to be available from the evening to the next morning? Is she going on a hot date? Is she going to get crunk? Will she be twerking? And then you catch her and she's like, I'm not twerking. I wasn't the governor at the time. Well, that's not what it was at all. She reappeared and this is what we had to show for it. I was thinking new tatas. Instead, she got a new haircut. Look at this monstrosity right there. That was surgical. And my first question for you, Governor Hobbs, does that haircut come with a new Subaru? We are just shocked at that. Speaking of poor taste and art, Palm Springs residents are very annoyed that this new AIDS memorial, well, let's just say the photos don't look appropriate when you see the sculptures in action. I want you to take a look at what's going on in Palm Springs. This is one of the most LGBTQRASTUVWXYZ friendly places in California. So Palm Springs did a AIDS memorial causing quite a bit of controversy, and they're demanding changes because these look like two glazed beeholes. Take a look at the video.
There are concerns tonight about being raised about an AIDS memorial planned for downtown Palm Springs. Right now, the sculpture is planned to look like this. These pictures you're seeing here, some people don't like it. News Channel 3's Jake Ingrassi live in studio with more on the controversy and possible changes in response to those concerns. Jake.
And John, it is a 9-foot sculpture planned for a Palm Springs park meant to remember lives lost to HIV and AIDS. But the design doesn't resonate with everyone. In fact, some call it inappropriate. And the committee in charge says they are now listening. It's the proposed AIDS memorial sculpture, raising hundreds of thousands of dollars in the community and stirring up controversy over its shape. The round limestone statue with concentric carved circles meant to represent the diverse community impacted by AIDS. Its eye level opening signifying connection, reflection, and hope. But it's not seen by everyone that way. Some saying it's too abstract.
It's really strained. I mean, this is almost like a piece of art looking for a purpose instead of the other way around. It could be about anything. And as a consequence, it's kind of about nothing.
There's also the view that it too closely resembles other things.
You hear it called the donut all the time. You hear it called the word can't say on camera all the time.
For some on social media and beyond, the design resembles an inappropriate body part on the rear end.
The backside of the proposed memorial looks like a graphic depiction of the backside.
That was pretty graphic. Holy moly! That's all I can say. That was asinine. Who would have thought that's a good design? So talking to camera two, do you approve of the new butthole memorial, or do you think it is a disgusting display in the middle of town? Put that in the comments. We love hearing from you. Well, this isn't the first time modern artists have been trying to make art that is actually not very well received. You might remember this from Martin Luther King's memorial. Nobody knew what it was. They say it's kind of an embrace, but it looks like someone holding the backside and kind of, you know, having a full meal there while you're supposed to be enjoying a statue with your friends. Probably not the best way to honor MLK. Well, moving right along, BLM is at it once again. You may or may not have seen this, but there have been a lot of attacks on local stores. Target says they're going to close 9 stores in major cities, citing violence and theft. Now, I did the math on this, and the average Target makes like $2 million a month in revenue. You multiply that out, you're talking about $24 to $30 million every year times 9 of them. So that's like $270 to $300 million a year times 10 years. You're not going to have a Target for 5-10 years. So that's like $3 billion, all because radical leftists don't want to be tough on crime. They've made it so anything under $1,000 is not really a felony anymore. $1,000, you can get a lot of stuff at Target for $1,000. 2 or 3 TVs, a couple stereos, the whole makeup rack is gone. And now big cities don't want to prosecute. So you can you get cited for it, but you don't even have to pay bail to get out. So really, there's no ramifications for stealing from Target and then just getting caught. And most of the times, you're not going to get caught because they have a new policy, Target says no chasing anyone who's stealing anything. So what you're doing is that's just Target. Now you add Walgreens. Now you add CVS. Now you add your local supermarket. These stores are going to be shutting down in the town near you because people want to be very light on crime. So do you think that's okay? Or do you think we need to make Target safe instead of make them a target? I'll tell you what. It's not just Target. These criminal gangs are being emboldened. We're going to show this on the screen right here. Philadelphia has fallen. Teens are looting Apple stores. Not just one teen, but 17, 18, 19s. Now, what I like about that is they say teens are robbing the Apple store. But if you look at every video of it from Chicago to Glendale, California, to even Philadelphia, there's another factor with these teens that they're not pointing out. If it was a group of Trump supporters with red hats, they would say, white supremacists are running rampant. But they will not use the word black African-American teens from 13 to 30 years old. Why? Because, well, we don't talk about that stuff. Here we read, Philadelphia has been swarmed by alleged juvenile looters targeting the Apple Store, Lululemon, Foot Locker, and others. And we know about Target as well. So what we're looking at is like some of our biggest stores. These are American icons. They're going to have to start closing in a city near you because some people can't keep their grubby little mitts off the products. And they're so emboldened because the left has said, let's wear masks. Hoodies don't mean you're a criminal. And BLM is just mad because of something that happened 200-300 years ago. They have a right to feed their family, to take bread, and to take electronics to buy food for their starving families. Is that what that really looks like? Watch this. Look at that and think about that for a moment. Free iPhones. Ha, ha, ha. Free iPhones. Then they got one of the iPads. It wasn't to buy bread for their starving family. It wasn't to feed themselves. They're pouring orange juice on it because it's funny. We're going to see if it's waterproof right here in the street. Now, the cops arrested 15 to 16 people, but how many hundreds of people just ran away? And that's kind of a fun day. Not a lot of punishment for it, and it's going to keep happening. So we ask you over here, what punishment do you think they should incur for stealing iPhones, pouring orange juice on them, and should we just let them go? Or should we make punishments even more severe because what you incentivize, you get more of? And instead, here we get morons. Well, I was completely shocked, and once again, they called it white supremacist. That's what Joe Biden will tell you is the worst problem in our country. Every time you turn around, it's easy to criticize white people. They're great targets, but take a look at this photo. These are the average people that are stealing, and we have no word from Joe Biden on what we should do about this, a big problem shutting down billions of dollars worth of business in our communities. We'll be back with The Right Show and a whole lot more after this. Colin Kaepernick is back. You know, he hasn't played football since 2016, and yet we still have to hear from this guy. If you don't remember, he is the gentleman who was adopted by two white parents, raised, given private football teaching, tutoring, and education, became great, but he started being benched. He didn't like being benched. He didn't like being second string. And while he was benched, when the national anthem would play, he wouldn't stand up. People started to take notice, say, hey, that's anti-American. So he tied his pouting to a bigger cause, the BLM movement, and said, the reason I was sitting on the bench was because of how they treat black people in this country. No one treats black people better than the NFL and the white adopted parents that took care of him. So instead, he started kneeling for the anthem. Okay, that was part two, kneeling. Now it's confused. Everyone's, well, he's kneeling because of the way black people are treated in America. Okay, but he was also a benched player. So he was no longer on the San Francisco 49ers, and now he's been trying to get back on another team for the last 7 years. Very hard to take a year off and come back to the NFL, let alone 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The bottom line is, most teams just don't think he's going to be good enough, and they don't want to add the social pressure of bringing someone who wants to kneel to tear the team up. We're learning a lot about teams and valuetainment, and the weakest link in your team can tear the whole team apart. Anyways, the Jets recently had an injury. Aaron Rodgers can't play, so Colin Kaepernick is angling to play for that team, but not for the real team, for the practice squad. Colin Kaepernick wrote a letter. J. Cole shared it, which is probably not a good idea, on social media so everybody could read the quarterback's personal letter to the New York Jets. When J. Cole shared this, it's got a lot of ridicule because if you read this, it actually reads kind of like a love letter to the Jets. And it's kind of informal, but then very long. Have you ever got a text message that was way too long? You're like, don't write me a book, bro. If I were writing a letter to the Jets, I would say, hey, I know in the past I've been a divisive figure. That's behind me now. I'm ready to join the team. I want to work hard. I am here to sacrifice my body for your practice squad so your number one players can go on and win a Super Bowl. That's why I'm here. No ego, limited money. I just want to be a part of the team. That's not what Colin did. Take a look. Very small writing, so let me help you out. First he writes, Joe, I hope this letter finds you in great spirits. Dude, is this your ex-girlfriend, bro? You don't have to write that. Cut to the chase. This thing should have been 2 paragraphs long. He continues, I'm wishing you and your staff and the players a great game this weekend as you look to bounce back. Now he gets to his point. Don't waste people's time, folks, in a letter. I'm writing, of course, in response to tell you that Aaron Rodgers is a big loss, and I know the aspiration of the season will and still are to win the championship. So in the Hall of Fame size hole we need to fill, blah, 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 blah. It is so boring. I'm just going to tell you this, folks. Stick with my letter, short, sweet, and to the point. Do you think Colin Kaepernick has any chance in the world to play football again, or should he hang it up and actually just, oh, I don't know, do something else with his life? Let me know in the comments, but I will tell you from this, I want to go back to this photo. Based on his hair right here, I think he should join the WNFL. Those women need a quarterback just like you, Colin. Good luck to you. And in one of our final stories of the day, America has gone completely soft. Each week we talk about America going soft, America going hard. And here is an example of that. The historically black college, Jackson State University, as soon as Dion left with his championship-level coaching, they start goofing around, FAFO. They put Leilani Armenta on the field as their kicker. What is happening here? First of all, this is a historically black college. She doesn't look historically black to me at all. Football is historically a male sport. They are just breaking all kinds of historics right here, and they got me in hysterics. I want you to see this groundbreaking kick. Once a team is already losing, they start doing like virtue signaling, and that's exactly what this looks like. Get ready. They made history with the first ever female kicker to ever play on Jackson State, and it went like this.
And here's the story of the day right there. That is Leilani Armenta. And she's going to play and she's going to kick off and maybe even do some field goals tonight for the Jackson State Tigers. Of course, she was on the Jackson State women's soccer team. And because of injuries during practice, she's going to get her
lining
shot
up
tonight.
She's nervous.
To be a kicker. And what an impressive young lady has been, and a chance for her.
Come on,
baby. I'm sure she's pretty nervous at this point.
Look at that. Look at that.
But they have her
out
there.
1, 2, 3.
And sweat football is underway in the
That's
about 17.
Sweat football is underway in the
And the crowd goes mild. That was the worst kick. I think her shoe came off and went further than the ball. That was horrible. So just remember, we all want to make history. We all want to do the best. But if you want to make history that lasts, you want Jackie Robinson. When he broke the color barrier, the best baseball player, and he was black, it was a moment to rejoice. Now we're just throwing in people going, hey, look, it's the first ever midget in a wheelchair going to kick the ball. Is this the best for the team? Does this help the cause, or does this make a mockery? You be the judge. Now we move on to America going hard. There's nothing like American innovation. And I can't tell you how great what Mercedes did was. If you're ever off-roading in the mud, the sand, sometimes your car gets stuck. And they developed a device to get you out of the mud and the sand. Man, America is going real hard. The only problem is they're not using it for what it was made for. Take a look at the video. Oh, yep, right here in Fort Lauderdale. Nothing like trying to get stuck from the mud in front of a beautiful Michelin-rated restaurant right here in Fort Lauderdale. I think that was actually Patrick Bet-David driving his car. That's kind of what he does. He bounces in and then throws a couple hundred to the valet. Park that for me. Now, back in the day, my car would bounce like that too. I had a really old car. It was a 1978 Mercedes-Benz. I was born in 81, so it was older than me, and it would bounce like that, but it didn't come that way. You had to get a girl that was willing to help you make that happen in the back seat. Those are the good old days. Not anymore, folks. I'm a reformed man. Speaking of cars, in Hungary, there's actually a road that if you drive the speed limit, it'll play a song for you. This is kind of an interactive way to encourage people to be safe on the road but have a good time. I thought it was interesting. I think Japan has it too. We need this in America. Take a look. So pleasant, a little reward for doing the right thing and driving the speed limit. My only fear is whenever I'm on the roads, I feel like some people are really into techno, so they're probably not going to go 55, 60 on that. They're going to go 110 and be like, yeah! So we got to be very careful for people that like house music. And in our final story, we like to end the show with a little laugh because this is the news for people who hate the news. And if you are into that kind of thing, then click like, subscribe, and tell your friends what we're doing here. But we always end on a positive note so that you can leave with a laugh. And next time we sit down with the news, we go through it again, but we always leave you on a high note.
Regular straight white guys are considered the enemy right now. They have no minority status, and that's a big deal right now. You gotta have your minority status, because regular white guys, they blame you for stuff. I'm like, you had slaves, and you stole your land from the Native Americans, and you're just rich and privileged. And you're like, well, I didn't have any of that. But they don't see that. So what I recommend to the straight white guys here is become a minority. The easiest one for you is look gay, if you can. It's the easiest one. All you gotta do is turn your wrist out, okay? And I'll show you how to do it. You straight? Now you're protected too. All right, you might get into college, get into the military easier. I don't join the firefighter academy. I don't know what's gonna happen. Turn your wrist out. You just be a better, you look nicer to people. You go from he might beat your ass to he might touch it. Hey.
You go from Home Depot to Home Goods. So there you have it, folks. I hope we left you with a laugh. Thank you for watching. Wrist out, wrist in. Okay, folks, this is not just a news program, okay? This is a support group for normal people. We're here to make you laugh, make you think, and come and do it every single week. Thank you for watching. We tell the truth through comedy. We wake America up with laughter, and we are here for you. Thank you for watching. Valuetainment presents The Right Show. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.